All right, I want to tell you about Brain FM. Some days, our focus is stretched thin. Different sources of stimulation regularly wear on our attention. Working from home can obviously exacerbate these issues. At best, curated playlists can be a crapshoot. Whether they'll actually push you to be more productive, who knows? This is why we use Brain FM. These guys have neural phase locking audio technology and fire soundtracks that shift your neurons into focus mode. Visit brainfm.com. That's www.brainfm.com. Use the promo code DIRECTIMPACT for great discounts. That's Direct Impact with no spaces. Now, visit the link in our show notes. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Andrea Epting and Mary Bartito, and we are here for a candid conversation on the Direct Impact Podcast. So, Mary, what are we talking about today?
What is intimacy?
Ah, intimacy. So I always say, into me you see. Intimacy, which means you can really see into the other individual. Which is something that absolutely can't happen when your partner is addicted. They can't see into you, and they sure as heck don't want you seeing into them. There are a lot of defenses around that. It's do not see me, do not know me, do not care for me, and do not need to be cared for by me. There's a lot going on there. Yeah. A lot for us to continue to unpack on this podcast. There's a lot going on there. From the addict's perspective. And I don't want to get too much into that in this podcast season. In this season, we're talking more about the betrayed party. And so let's talk about all these things about intimacy, because if you really dive into the recovery process, you are going to be expected at some point to be intimate with your partner. And that's scary. And when we talk about intimacy, we're not just talking about sex. We're not talking about sex and sexuality and romance, although that is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But it's also about being nurtured and cared for and trust.
Trust seems to be like really, I mean, in any relationship, whether betrayed or not, you know, trust is such a foundation. So how, you know, do you rebuild that? What would that even look like in rebuilding healthy intimacy? Because it sounds like, you know, with an addict and betrayed partner, there's a lot of dysregulation. There's a lot of dysfunction. So what is, I guess, the first steps of building healthy trust?
So healthy trust is one, I'll say, column, if you will. It's one of the pillars that we want to address is trust. When you look at intimacy, there's also the pillar of sex and sexual expression and how to be healthy in your sexuality. And, you know, oftentimes the addiction has corrupted that in a big way. And sometimes, especially betrayed partners have started doing things that don't really align with their sexual selves authentically. And so that's a pillar that we definitely have to address. The other pillar, I think, is emotional, and it has to do with nurturing and being nurtured, loving and giving love. Oftentimes, relationships have a giver and a taker, and that is very problematic. And so, I mean, I think those are big, big pillars, that emotional piece of like, how do I nurture and love and also equally be loved? Because a lot of the betrayed partners that I work with, they're so fearful of expressing a need.
Right.
And so, like, I think that's where you begin, is really like diving into each of these pillars, and every coupleship is unique. And so you have to see kind of like timing wise where to start, what's first, second, and third, like what are the priorities in this relationship. For a lot of people, sex is off the table at first.
Right.
So we want to focus on the other pillars, which is trust and emotional intimacy. So, yeah.
Because I also think too, like, even let's say the couple doesn't work out, like, you know, they split up, whatever is best for them. And even just dating in general, thinking of like going back out in the dating pool, you know, I bet that's really scary, you know, for a lot of people who come out of these dynamics, the both the addict and the betrayed. So wondering maybe what are the things they need to look out for as they go finding a new partner in person, you know, some green or red flags that they need to be aware of.
Great question, Mary. And I will say there is an intense fear on the part of a betrayed partner in dipping their toe back into dating, unless they also have some sex and love stuff going on, where they just want to escape into the next relationship, which, of course, if they're in therapy, their therapist is going to help them create boundaries around that and some barriers around that. Because I think for a lot of people, it's scary to go deeper. But for people who are in their recovery and they've been working in a while, they are scared to death to date again. And I always say that's a great sign. It is a great sign if you are petrified to dip your toe in the dating pool. You know, great. That says you're in a really good place probably to start dating.
Okay.
If you're not scared to death, then don't be dating. Please. Because there is a process and a lot of work to be done around effective courtship and what dating actually is. And a lot of my partners have been programmed to dive a little too fast into intimacy and to have some blurred boundaries and to go into more of this, I don't want to say caretaking, but it's like it becomes something more than just dating around to see if there is compatibility. And so, of course, you want to ask questions to see if this person is compatible. And sometimes one of the first questions is, so how much porn do you look at? You know, you know, maybe it's not the first thing you say when you sit down to dinner, but I think it definitely comes up quicker, first date or two. The first date, I mean, you're looking at some other things that might be compatible. I mean, you're looking at chemistry, you're looking at values, you're looking at priorities, not just what they say, but how they say it, you know, paying attention to, you know, any addictive tendencies or patterns that might be triggering, paying attention to pink flags and red flags and being willing to talk about them and name them and notice them and not fall back into that old default mode of, oh, well, let me fix this. Oh, oh, this is about me. It's something I'm doing wrong. Instead of just recognizing it. Nope. This is a, this is an issue for that other individual.
Right,
and that might not be compatible for you. Yeah.
No, because as you're talking about that, I just think of like any person, whether heterosexual, homosexual, you know, lesbian, like depending on who you are, like your attachment style, like you said, the way we are programmed does have such an effect that it's kind of like, well, my needs don't matter, or I'm just going to ignore it, or just something, whatever it is. It's kind of like, I also think of like the need of, I want to be in a partnership. I want to be in love. So I really don't care as long as I can keep this person because I know I'm going to get that need met. And sure, but there's that unhealthiness to it, you know, that we don't consider ourselves. And I think that's so hard if we've been programmed not to consider ourselves, that it's kind of like, okay, now I have like the standards, right? We don't want to bring them back down. We're like, I'm intentionally looking for somebody. And that can be hard because we're sometimes told we'll just settle, you know, it's okay.
And knowing like, what are you seeking? I mean, it's like, are you looking to be partnered because you think that is going to somehow, I don't know, help you? I mean, offer you something that you're missing? Is it a, is it something that you feel like you are missing that being partnered is going to bring to your life? Because if that's the approach, you're going at it wrong. You know, partners need to be value added.
Right.
If they are not value added into your life, if they don't make your life better, legitimately better, then yeah, I think you need to look at compatibility again.
Because I think of a saying, and I know some people have different perspectives on it, but like, if you can't love yourself, how can you love somebody else? Mm-hmm. To me, that saying at least comes from, if I can't accept myself where I'm at, the good, the bad, the ugly, you mm-hmm. know, how is somebody else going to? Because I feel like then that adds pressure, you know, to mm-hmm. the other person, like, oh, they're going to fix me. They're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And there's also the perspective of, oh, I need to be perfect, mm-hmm. you know, before mm-hmm. I can love anybody. No, I think it's just understanding, you know, I'm broken mm-hmm. sometimes. I need to work on myself. But yeah. you as the person that I love, like you said, will add to that, will also help me nurture that side of me and help me see that I can be loved with these mm-hmm. parts I may not like about me.
And they create a safety and a security mm-hmm. that says, I do deserve
yeah.
good
yeah.
things, and I deserve to be loved, and it's safe to be loved mm-hmm. and nurtured. It's not about what I can do for them. It really is about letting them do for me. Mm-hmm. But I think it does require a safe,
yeah.
healthy relationship. And that's what mm-hmm. we're talking about, is like, how do we find safe relationships where intimacy can be built
right.
and added upon over time, where it becomes not just intimacy, but commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes we put the cart before the horse when it mm-hmm. comes to all of this, because it's meeting needs, if you will, of our inner child, needs that haven't been restored or repaired. And so we find ourselves in very dysfunctional patterns and unhealthy relationships.
One last, you know, question that I think is a great one as we talk about, you know, dating and building, like you said, healthy intimacy is, you know, how do you think modern dating mm-hmm. and how it's changed has affected, you know, building, like you said, healthy intimacy? Because it almost sounds like we're a little skewed on that. I think when we think intimacy, like you said earlier, it's not just sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of us automatically default to that. So mm-hmm. how do you think modern dating has affected this?
I think that's always been the case. Mm-hmm. I think it's much easier to be sexual than it is to be intimate. And so I think this has always been an issue, especially when there's childhood trauma at play or some type of unhealthy partnership with one of your major caregivers. So if you are inappropriately partnered with one of your caregivers, you're going to seek out some unhealthy patterns in relationships and do things that might not be healthy in them. So I don't think modern day dating helps. I think it throws some fuel on that fire, but I think the fire was already there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, really, like, it's accessible. We can download an app, mm-hmm. talk to somebody really quick. Mm-hmm. You're right that it probably...
But it's so superficial, right? Right. And I think when people dive into sex quickly, it mm-hmm. does. It is one of those pink flags that says, oh, there's a fear of intimacy. There's a fear of intimacy if sex is the first thing on the docket, you know, and they're trying to cover up something or diving in too fast to try to like gloss over what healthy courtship looks like. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think they're missing a lot. And I do want to tell our viewers that, you know, this is really important information, and we definitely intend to dive deeper into sexual compulsivity and do a season on that. Mm-hmm. And we also plan to dive into courtship mm-hmm. And levels of relationships, because all of these things apply to every single one of us. And we have all been impacted in our early years, and it shows up in every one of our relationships. So look out for more to come on this. Okay, guys? Yeah. Looking forward to it, Mary?
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. So if y'all have any questions, please reach out to us at www.lightninginabottle.biz. And please definitely share this episode, like, subscribe, make sure that you're subscribed so you're getting these very short nuggets, golden nuggets coming your way every week. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye for now.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epstein. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today. Listen up, Direct Impact Nation. You know how important routine, structure, consistency, and accountability is on the road to recovery and personal discovery. Well, I have developed the perfect companion for you on your journey. My Plan to Recover journal is thoughtfully and specifically designed for the person looking to achieve long-term success in recovery while gaining personal insight, awareness, emotional intelligence, and spiritual integrity. The Plan to Recover journal will help you stay recovery-minded, practice your priorities, and build a healthy relationship with self and others 12 hours at a time. To preview and pre-order your copy today, visit www.lightninginabottle.biz/journal. That's www.lightninginabottle.biz/journal. And don't forget to get a PTR journal for a friend on their journey too. Direct Impact Nation will save 15% when you use the promo code IMPACT. That's promo code IMPACT. With the purchase of your PTR journal, you will become part of an exclusive community dedicated to recovery and self-discovery. Visit www.lightninginabottle.biz and let us take you from want to willing, and from willing to healing. Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.